How's everybody doing? Man, it is good to worship together. And it is good to say the name of Jesus together. Isn't it? They're just kind of, I don't know, for me, when I'm worshiping and then I hear that name, it's like, just snap. Oh, yeah. It's everything. Jesus. My name is Steve McEnroy, and I'm one of the four pastors, the Rock Churches. I spend most of my time in Provo. God's been teaching me a lot. He's been teaching me. It's my privilege tonight to continue with the Proverbs series, and I'm excited. I really am. This particular topic, God's really working in my life. I'm learning right along with you. God's teaching us. He's so kind to do that. I thought of this church. You know, I remember being here the first day we had church in this building. Matter of fact, I remember when this church was just an idea, and there was a number of us meeting at Alta Rec Center, a little rec center, on Saturday nights, and we had a little horse trailer that we would pull up, and we roll out a little sound system, and we pulled all the stuff out of the trailers, and we would say the name of Jesus in that little Alta Rec Center, And God showed up, and God did things, and He taught us. And in a lot of ways, this church, when I came here, I was thinking about it. You guys are teachable. You have proven that. God has taught you. He has taught us. Some of you that were here 8 or 9 years ago when we started doing that, God has taught us, hasn't He? He's taken us down some paths. So in many ways, boy, what a privilege to come and speak to some teachable hearts, some people that you're here because you want to hear from the Lord. And so do I. And that's a huge part, being teachable. I remember the first night we had church here, and there was nobody sitting back there because the stage was right under where that number thing is. The stage is right here. Stage certainly wasn't this big, but we set it up over there first, and these curtains weren't here, and there's some stairs right behind these curtains here, and I remember standing up on the top of those stairs that first night, and it was packed, which for us, packed was half of this, and I remember, oh my goodness, God, oh my goodness, you're doing something, God, you are doing something, you're at work here, has nothing to do with us, does it, God, you filled the room. You're going to do it, and you're on the move, and you're going to teach people, and your Holy Spirit's going to show up. And He's been doing that, and we've experienced that, and walked in that, and we'll continue to walk in that. God is teaching us. You know, we're going to talk a lot about quite a few verses from Proverbs tonight, and so let's just kind of jump right in here. We'll start with Proverbs 9, chapter 9, verse 9. It says, instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. So, like I was saying, I think this room is full of righteous and wise men and women that God has been teaching by His Spirit. Not that we're so special, because He's special. Jesus is special. His Spirit is teaching us. And you can believe that, and you can walk in that, and I can walk in that. So good. Here's a quote from G.I. Packer. It says, not until we have become humble and teachable, standing in awe of God's holiness and sovereignty, acknowledging our own littleness, distrusting our own thoughts, and willing to have our own minds turned upside down, can wisdom become ours. Now, J.R. Packard's considered one of the most influential evangelicals in North America. Interesting quote, I would say. Distrusting our own thoughts and willing to have our minds turned upside down. Isn't that an interesting quote? You know, I did go to a couple colleges, gave it a go. A couple different times, and it was interesting. You know, and I went there just long enough to find what I was looking for. A woman. And I did, and she came with me tonight. She, you know, she's a keeper. I found her at a college campus. She searched out, and I found her. Got her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. That was... But, you know, look around. My goodness, campuses and institutions of higher learning and all the different things that people just clamor to learn, to gain more knowledge, to understand more things. We go to school to become doctors and lawyers and electricians. You know, the two most important jobs are doctors. We need doctors in the world. The second one's electricians, if you didn't know that. It's you have to have doctors in case we get sick or hurt so they can fix us up. And if the doctors don't have power, there you go. Doctors and electricians, you take care of those guys. But they are. We are. We want to learn. We want to learn. You know, we do. And we need to learn. And we need to be taught. And there's lots of different things we need to learn. And there are just a number of things that are really important. There are. There's a number of things that we really need to get. So I'm gonna share my blue collar ideas, if you will, on how to be teachable. Just some things I've kind of learned along the way, and thank goodness my resource is the Bible. All right, thank goodness, God knows what we need. Oh my goodness, there's a lot of teachers out there. A lot of people want to tell you different things and that they really believe in. But right here, God's word is what we need to look to. That needs to be our source. God wants to teach us. He has things for us. And so we need to look to him. So I'm going to pray one more time. Just ask him to help us. I'd appreciate it if you'd pray with me. Let's genuinely go before our God and ask him to help us. God, I do pray to you. For tonight, for this evening, this next few minutes, God, could we ask you, could we approach you? Obviously we can. We can pray. You hear us. This isn't just a sound. I'm not praying to a crowd. I'm praying to you. I don't care if anybody else hears me. God, I pray to you, Jesus, my King. I ask you to come in power. Father God, these next few minutes, could you change us? I know you could. Would you please come and help us to understand you maybe in a little more intimate way, to be inspired by you so much that we take action, that our life is changed because of you, God. I pray that would be so. And I pray the words come out of my mouth, Lord, they'd be directly from you. You'd help us. And I'd pray you'd have me shut up where you want me to, God, that I would be quiet. I wouldn't say the things you don't want me to. And I trust you in it, and I thank you for what you're going to do tonight, God. And pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, let's get into some more Proverbs here. It's our Proverbs series. And I really do think it's going to really help our church. All of our locations are going through this. Many of our small groups, definitely in Provo. Our little life groups are going through it. And I think the house churches are going through it. It's really going to be good for all of our churches. So let's dig into another Proverbs here. I want to show you Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. It says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in." You know, I think we typically, I don't know about you, but when we hear the word discipline or rebuke, those are the things that we want to run away from, isn't it? It's like we want to, like a little kid that we think we're going to be disciplined or rebuked, we want to turn and run the other way. At least I do. Maybe all you guys don't, but I do when I hear those words. But we must remember that God is our Father. And we must learn, you and I, we need to learn how to run to him. How to run to him. In the good things, in the bad, no matter what happens, how to run to him instead of run away from him. And he has things in place for us that help us run to him, certainly his word. And even in times of discipline and rebuke, we need to learn how to run to him, because he'll take care of us. He'll help us. He'll pick us up. He'll direct us. He'll breathe life into us. He'll show us. So we need to do that. He knows best for us. He's a good father. He's a perfect father. Many of us don't have that example here on earth. But rest assured, he is the perfect father, period. There's none here on earth that compare to the perfect father. Always faithful, always coming through, always doing what he says he's going to do, always fulfilling his promises. If he says he's going to show up, he'll show up. He will. That's our God. He will. And you can count on it every single time. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's promised us that. I like this verse in Isaiah 66:2. Honestly, I think this pretty much sums up tonight's teaching. It says, has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. There's our Father, declares the Lord. This is the one I esteem. Now, don't miss this. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Chew on this verse a little bit. We don't want to run past this one. This describes teachability, being teachable. See, God is our creator. He's lined everything up to even bring us here tonight. He's directed us all to this old red warehouse. For some reason, he's orchestrated that. And he esteems, or that means he sets a high value on the humble and contrite in spirit who trembles at his word. I don't know that I always do that. I always, oh, man, what are you trying to tell me there? A humble and contrite, soft, broken heart that goes to his word, like, oh, my goodness, I need you to direct me, God. Me and you, God, me and you, I need you to direct me. I need you tonight. I need you this morning. I need you today. Humbly approaching him, the contrite and broken heart, it's you, God. I can't do this. You know I can't. Help me, God. And that's the position that we need to learn to take. Humble and contrite spirit. See, God, the Holy Spirit is the best teacher ever. The Spirit is the best teacher ever. God is. And if you're a believer, God lives inside you. And that is available to you, his Spirit, to teach you, to open your eyes to his words, to open your ears to a brother or sister that's sharing a verse with you. That Spirit inside you leaps to that other saint so that you can learn and teach and defer to one another and be humble and grow in Christ and be teachable. Here's another good Proverbs. Proverbs 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Oh, boy. You know, I struggle with people telling me what to do. I just always have, ever since I was a little kid. I do, you know. And I even struggle, if I'm honest here before you, at doing what God tells me to do some of the times. I'm just one of those guys. I can be so proud. I can. And the opposite of humble is proud. It is not listening to direction or correction. I mean, even on the way down here tonight, my wife and I, we are wired so different, you know, and I don't necessarily feel like I need to turn on the windshield wipers all the time. You know, I could have probably driven the whole way here. And maybe one time, whoop, and it's snowing and raining, but she, honey, I'm sorry. I kind of think it freaks her out a little bit. So she runs the windshield wiper for me. She's constantly, you know, squirting it and running it, you know. It's like, okay. And when it makes that squeaky noise, that drives me crazy. That doesn't need to be on. Just relax. But it's a good thing that I let her do that. We almost crashed on the way here, you know. She's putting on her brake, and she doesn't even have one. But she's good. But I don't know. And for some reason, I love her so much. For some reason, I have a hard time taking correction from her. I do. And God is helping me with that. He is. He's helping me with that. The opposite of humble is proud. Putting on pride is kind of like putting on your stupid man cape, you know? It's like the only superpower that stupid man has is to make mistakes just in rapid succession and to sin against the holy God. That's all stupid man can do. He's just stumble, fall, sin. Stumble, fall, sin. And I just love God's word. It's so simple sometimes. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. He who hates correction is stupid. Okay, I get it. All right. I'll take off my cape. I like this next quote from John Wooden. It's what you learn after you know it all that counts. There's actually two quotes here. And if I'm through learning, I am through. You may not know this, but John Wooden was a phenomenal basketball coach. He went to be with the Lord in 2010. I think he had won 7 championships in a row in college basketball. Phenomenal coach. No one's ever come close to his accomplishments. But I don't know if you knew this about John Wooden, but he was a devout Christian, and considering his beliefs more important to him than basketball. Here's another quote, which I don't have for the screen. It says, I've always tried to make it clear, and this is from John Wooden, I've always tried to make it clear that basketball is not the ultimate. It is of small importance in comparison to the total life we live. There is only one kind of life that truly wins, and that is the one that places faith in the hands of the Savior. You know, Wooden's faith strongly influenced his life. He read the Bible daily, and he was part of a Christian church. He was a part of a church. He was in a family of believers. And I think it went well for him. The body of Christ. It's important. I'm going to go through 3 quick steps on being teachable. Really kind of simple ideas here. Just 3 steps. You have a handout in your bulletin. You're certainly welcome to follow along with, but it's not rocket science here. So hopefully the Spirit will teach you and just kind of open your eyes to maybe one or two things tonight that might really help you along the way. It might help you to be a little more teachable. And let's look at this first step, is to admit you're wrong. Ouch. James chapter 4, verse 10 in the New Living Testament says, when you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence on him, he will lift you up and give you honor. It all starts right there with Jesus. It all starts with our relationship, and it all starts with humility. Even our choice, God gives us a choice to turn to him, certainly draws us. He draws us to him. He is wooing everyone. But there is a place where we're called to go before this holy God in submission, in surrender, in humility, total humility, to go before the King of the universe and say, I am wrong. God, I sinned against you. I did. I did steal. I did dishonor my parents. I did have those lustful thoughts. I have sinned, God. I am guilty. That's a salvation prayer. Please forgive me. I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? Will you please come into my life? That's a step, that's a choice that God gives us to turn to him, to the Savior. That's our example of how to be teachable. Oh, you are God. I am not. You are God. I am not. There has to be humility in there. Has to be a place where you have to go before me. You know what? Help me. Help. Help. You're right. I'm wrong. And that's just the example that, you know what? That flows right into to everything. Certainly God, he knows that. He took care of it. Jesus did die on a cross. He did rescue us. He is our Savior. That's our hope tonight, that all of that has taken place, and that flows right into everything else in humility and in admitting we're wrong. I'm wrong. I don't have to be right here, honey. I'm wrong. Will you please forgive me? Or a coworker, or a friend, or a sibling, or a brother or a sister. I am wrong. Will you please forgive me? I was wrong there. Will you please forgive me? That just to admit that we're wrong. We're so eager to be right. No, I've read 3 books on this. You need to understand I'm right. And I probably always will be.
At least in my mind.
Yes. Humility. We need to learn humility. And you know what? God does help us with that. He has a way of helping us with that. God says God opposes the proud. You don't want God opposing you. Oh, my goodness. Here's another good verse. Let's talk about humility. This will be one of our topics down the road in a couple months here. With humility comes wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. It says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. There's this humility that you and I need to bring, that soft and contrite heart. I like this verse from Philippians. The Apostle Paul writes in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not to your own interests, but to the interests, also to the interests of others. You know, and I've been learning this for about 28 years with my wife now, this idea of trying to think of others as better than yourself. You know, because when I do think of her as better than me, we tend to get along pretty good. We do. And you'll find that. You know, I was really challenged this week when we took our youth group, our teenagers. We went to a place where mentally handicapped people live. We went there just to serve them and play games with them, the Wii and stuff. And so we went into this room, and some of the teenage girls were pretty freaked out. I mean, just like, what's going to happen here? This is going to be weird. And honestly, I think we all were kind of, oh, my goodness. So we went into this room, and there was just a lot of people with some debilitating things. And the verse that kept coming to my mind when we were there, because we just tried to love them. We just tried to help them. My goodness, it's an hour and a half of our life. Big deal. And we went to try to help them a little bit. And the verse that kept coming to my mind was, in Romans 2:11, it says, God does not show favoritism. God does not show favoritism. And he loves my friends in that clinic just as much as he loves me. God does not show favoritism. And that high standard is for us to try to live to, with God's help. That's our goal. That's our goal. We wouldn't show favoritism, and that we would love others. We'd love others. That's a product, if you will. That's a result, if you will. If your life is filled with humility, if you're carrying yourself as with humility, that's the product. Is all of a sudden you're helping others. You're trying to do things for others, and it's a beautiful thing, and we can see it in the church. Oh my goodness, you guys are such an amazing example of that. People that are humble and helping others and reaching out to others. That's a good thing. That's a sign of humility, true humility. You know, and I I don't know. I think we need to learn in this area. I think we, at least me, I need to grow. I need to grow in this area. This is a tough verse. Think of others more highly than myself, better than myself in everything. No matter who it is, airplane. If I'm on an airplane, or on a train, or right now, a person right next to you, are you thinking of them as better than yourself? They're sure different, but that's a challenging verse. I hope it challenges you. It challenges me. Here's another quote from Thomas Merton. It says, "Pride makes us artificial, and humility makes us real." Thomas Merton is an American Catholic, a Trappist monk. Pride makes us I don't necessarily agree with all of his ideas, but I like this quote. Pride makes us artificial, and humility makes us real. Proud people are artificial. So let's go on to point two, the second thing, second step towards becoming teachable, towards that goal of teachability in our lives, is to take advice. Seems so simple. Take advice. Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. You know, God is so kind to make things really simple for guys like me. I do. I kind of just need it broken down to about third grade, and then, okay. Okay, God, I get that. Thank you. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you for making that clear to me. Take advice. Ask somebody. Oh, okay. Teach me that. I need help with that, God. Teach me. Okay, I will. I live inside you. I'll help you. Learn how to take advice. Be around people that take advice. Grow in the area of taking advice. It will help you in many situations to take advice. And it's not really rocket science. I mean, when's the last time you went to somebody and said, why don't we just ask and stop and ask somebody? Or if somebody's asking, I don't know how to do this, I don't know how to do that, what should I do in this situation? Well, why don't you just ask somebody who knows? Instead of beating your head against the wall. And there's lots of things we stress, and we're like, oh, what am I going to do about this? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do this? Well, why don't you ask somebody? Why would I do that? I just like being this way. I want you to pay attention to me. Can't you see I'm selfish? I want everybody to know my problems. I want you to know that I have the flu. I want you to know that I'm sick. It's about me. Pay attention to me, would you? That's the way we are. That rather than, wait a minute, there's that humility that has us turn to someone else. Say, can you help me? Yeah, well, you know, you've got a cold. Why don't you take some cold medicine? We've been through this before. Just like Granny's cure, it takes about 7 days to work. You know, ask me your help. Help me. And boy, this is a good topic for me because I need to be reminded of this. Bill Young is a fantastic example of this. What a good brother. I just don't spend enough time with that man. He's just such a good example of this. What should we do? I don't know. I'll ask somebody. Why didn't I think of that? Oh, I'm asking you. Because I know that you come up with good answers. It's just a good thing to do. Ask for help. It's no rocket science, really. It's no secret ancient writing that we've just uncovered. It's just humility. It's just humility. There's a couple more verses to back it up. In chapter 12, verse 15, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise. Bible has all kinds of things like this. They're just good, wise, important direction and instruction for life, so it might go well for you. In whatever you're up against to, whether you're raising a family or if you're trying to figure out this whole singleness, or if you're young or if you're old, Proverbs can direct us and protect us. And we need to learn to take advice. I like this next step here. Point A is establish a spiritual family. In Galatians 6:10, it says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." Church, you belong to a family of believers. You might not consider this church. You know, we invite you to consider it. God may even draw you to come in and be a part of this church. And that would be fantastic. But there's this idea of family that I want to just expound on a little bit. I was going to give you a visual. So in my garage today, I cut a golf ball in half because I just like doing stuff like that. So I had my saws all out there, and I cut a golf ball in half. Well, back in the old days, they don't do it. To my surprise, today I learned. My wife, she could, "What are you doing?" Cutting a golf ball in half. But back in the old days, I don't know, when I was a kid, we used to take golf balls, we'd collect them, and I was the kind of guy, I liked to take them apart. What's inside this thing, you know? And it used to be, when you had a golf ball, you'd take it apart, and there was this white coating, of course, that had the dimples in it that held everything together. Then just underneath that, there was like rubber bands all over the place, and it was fun to kind of shoot them at your buddies and stuff and cut them open and say, "Look at this weird thing, you know, look at these balls." And then down in the very center was a core, a little hard rubber ball, kind of like a super ball. And that's what a golf ball, you know, one I cut open today, you know, and I had a hard time getting it in half. And I realized, boy, there's this new plastics. They don't even use the rubber band thing anymore. So no visual for you. Maybe someday, next time. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. The idea I had was these golf balls, see, this whole family of faith, if you will, the nucleus or the core or the very center of this family of faith is you and God. So the little red hard, or it's not necessarily red, the little ball in the middle, the hard thing, the very core or the nucleus, if you will, the very center of everything of your life, the very very center of your life. Is you and God, all right? You and Him, and it's just amazing because somehow we fit into the Trinity. Now the Trinity in itself is just like, wow. Explain that to me one more time. I mean, in this culture, everybody's confused. Oh my goodness, because it's confusing. God gets it; He understands it. So there's this: the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and three persons. And somehow in our core, if you're a believer, somehow you've been invited into that core. Oh my goodness. You've been we have stepped into the Trinity in some ways. In that core, in our faith, the very core of my faith, the most important thing to me ever, because ever is eternity. Not just for my life, forever. It's my relationship with Jesus, and that's got to become before everything. You know, we talk about accountability and all kinds of stuff, and that's all good stuff. I'm going to talk about that a little bit too, but we've got to start in that core, you and God, you and God, you and God, me and God, me and God, me and God, me and His Word, His Holy Spirit teaching me in my little blue-collar way, His Holy Spirit teaching some of you brainiacs in your way, you and Him. I don't know how you do it. Some do it at night, some do it in the morning. Somehow you get away with God. You got to shut off the noise. Sometimes it's just got to go silent. There's too much noise. It's got to be you and God, you and God. God speaks to you. You may even go to the mountain with something that you're wrestling with, you're trying to figure out. Big decisions in life. You should go to the mountain. Big decisions in life. Oh my goodness, get with God, get with God, get with God, get with God. Get some direction. The Spirit is inside you. Tap into that power. Talk to God. Talk to Him. Go to Him. Take that problem to Him. Get on your knees, for goodness sakes. This is the Holy God. He's incredible. Tremble at His Word. God, I bring you my heart as much as I know how. Humble and contrite and, you mean I can approach you? You've invited me to approach the throne of grace with confidence. Here I am, God. Let me know what to do. And you know what? He will. He will. Try it. I challenge you. Take your toughest situation right now, and you take it to God. I challenge you. You can keep doing the chicken thing all you want, and it's just going to be hard for you. So it all starts right there. That's the nucleus. Okay, the center of the golf ball, if you will. If I would add it, oh, it'd been such a cool picture. Then all around the little rubber bands, okay, around that core, okay. Then, okay, first remember, at the core is your relationship with God. And you, that's so important. And then God, he's so amazing. He gives us a church. He gives us a body of believers. It's like we're born into this body. We're not left alone out in the desert to die. He gives us a family of believers. And that may very well be your biological mother and father. We have had the privilege of leading our children to the Lord. And oh my goodness, that's such a beautiful thing. So beautiful. That's what I've prayed for my kids, to know the Lord. So we have this family of believers. And yes, it may include your biological family, and it may not. Because our biological families, I don't know if you noticed lately, they are really messed up these days lots of times. My stepfather's cousins, brother's sister, you know, I'm staying over there. All that's just a lot of stuff out there. But in the family of believers, in community, that's where I express myself. That's where I grow up. That's where you grow up. That's where I learn. That's where I get rebuked. That's where I get disciplined. That's where I learn. That's where I get directed. God uses that protection of the family of believers, see? He does. You know what? I messed up on my illustration. The rubber bands thing, that's our crazy mixed up families, okay? And some of those might be believers, and that's great if they are. But the white thing that holds it all together, that's what holds. God puts us in a church. You need the church. I need the church. We need that together. And I like to take that a step further. Josh has been encouraging me to share this idea of a father and a brother and a son in the faith. You know, you and I need that family of believers. And each and every one of us, I would challenge you to consider this. Do you have people that are close to you? Do you have a father in the faith, or a mentor, if you will? Someone who you know more than just, hey, how you doing? Someone who knows you well? Someone who you know well? Someone who you'd be quick to call? Or a mother in the faith? If you're a woman, do you have a mother in the faith? Do you have a mentor? Someone that might be discipling you? Or and brothers and siblings in the faith, brother and sisters in the faith, maybe somebody that's about in the same station of faith that you are, the same place. And you know what? I have fathers in the faith that have done such a good job that I've grown up to be, now I'm their brother in the faith. But I still have, a number of different fathers in the faith that I would consider that men that help me and teach me and mentor me. And it's not always the same guy. Different situations, I have different believers that I can go to, that I can ask for advice and help. And my counselors, if you will. And I have brothers as well in my life. And I think that each of us needs at least one spiritual father or mother, at least one spiritual brother or sister, at least one spiritual son or daughter that, you know what I mean, that we go deeper with, that our relationship is more than just friends, goes deeper. We're spiritually connected by the Spirit of God, and he's placed us, here's the secret ingredient, supernaturally together to live out and express life, and like Mark was saying, to stand for Christ, for the gospel, because we have a mission at hand. And I think that each and every one of us, we need to work at putting that together in our life. And it's going to change. Sometimes people are going to move away and they're going to go on a church plant. You're not going to be, but you need to be willing to, okay, all of a sudden I don't have a spiritual family necessarily. My father moved away on a church plant. Well, I need to find somebody in my town that I can connect with. Or I need to find a brother that I'm close to. You know, things change. People move. But for the most part, I think that that we can keep that spiritual family. And accountability springs out of that. Men that are meeting together and who said, you know what? I commit to meeting with you every Saturday at 10 o'clock. Brother, I do. I commit to meeting with you. And and you commit to me, and there's an accountability that goes on there, and we can talk about things that I don't necessarily talk about at the restaurant after church. And I think that, honestly, men and women need that type of relationship that goes deeper, where we can hold each other accountable, where we can rebuke each other if we need to, or we can discipline, or we're so close to friends, of course I would ask them. I wouldn't think of doing something without them. You understand that? To help us, to lead us along. You got to have your own relationship with God first. That's got to be first. And then your expression comes out of that. And there's a family of believers around you. We need that. Accountability is nothing if you don't have your own relationship with God that's rocking. We can't, you know, your accountability partner can't have your relationship for you. That's you and God, you and God, you and God. But together, you can live in this family of faith, both of you rocking for Christ and taking it further. Take it even further together with others, united. We can just do so much more. And I think it's important that we put that in place, you and I. So that's the family of faith. And I like this verse from Proverbs 15, verse 1. It says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So have some counselors, have some advisors in your life. Have a family of believers in your life that you can go and get advice from so that it may go well with you. You'll be glad you did. Third and final idea here is to view trials as opportune, as an opportunity. Your trials as they come along. And James, oh, I would like to, in heaven, maybe he'll be my accountability partner. We won't need him there, but... But man, he's a warrior. I like James and Peter. I just think those guys would have been so cool to hang out with. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Consider it pure joys. You know, I find myself challenging brothers these days. More and more, kind of the thought that God's given me that kind of taught me is when somebody's up against something difficult or whatnot, I just come along and say, you know, I'm here for you. I'm going to pray for you. I'll do all I can to help you. But you know what, brother? This is your opportunity to lead your family. This might be the hardest thing you've ever been through. But you know what? Your family needs you. Your family needs you to lead right now, brother. You need to lead through this. Or sister. I know this is a hard thing. This is an opportunity for you to really show how much you love Jesus. When hard things come and trials come, because they will, you're not going to get by without it. You know, I hate to be the guy to tell you tonight, pop your bubble, but hard things are coming your way and my way. And in the midst of those trials, that's God. Some of it is testing, I believe. Some of it, God is discipline and testing and growing us for things that we're going to need to be tested and grown and disciplined for the next work, for the next thing that we're going to march through, whatever that might be. So he teaches. Oftentimes, it's through difficult things. How are we going to deal with that? God wants to teach us. He wants to teach us through those trials. He never wastes a hurt. No matter what you're going through, he never wastes that. Just pay attention and learn from it each time. I like this quote from George Mueller, another one of my, this guy's one of my heroes. You know, if you're going to read about somebody, you read about his ministry. I like this quote, "The only way to learn strong faith is to endure great trials." That's the pictures of him as a young man there with a bunch of kids. Can you imagine? You know, I have three kids, and at times I was overwhelmed with raising them, and I'm not finished yet by any means. But this guy built orphanages on prayer. He never asked people for money. He asked God to help him. It's just phenomenal. Read about George Mueller. Thousands of orphans that he brought in. Those buildings in the background there, they built these big dormitories. And he basically created this seminary for kids. So he'd lead them to Christ and then help grow them up in the faith, help train them and be their father in the faith and teach them. So amazing. I like this story about Mueller as well. It says, Mueller prayed about everything, and he expected each prayer to be answered. Once while he's crossing the Atlantic, his ship ran into a thick fog. He explained to the captain that he needed to be in Quebec by the following afternoon, but Captain Dutton said that he was slowing the ship down for safety, and Mueller's appointment would have to be missed. Mueller asked to use the chart room to pray for the lifting of the fog. The captain followed him down, claiming it would be a waste of time. After Mueller prayed, the captain started to pray, but Mueller stopped him, partly because of the captain's unbelief, but mainly because he believed the prayer had already been answered. When the two men went back to the bridge, they found the fog had lifted. The captain became a Christian shortly afterwards. You need to be praying. You need to ask God. Go to God in prayer. Learn from hard things, from our trials. Embrace trials, as James would say for us. And this point A here is to learn from mistakes. This verse, Proverbs 26, verse 11 says, "As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly." You know, most of us have tasted vomit. And it's not really very yummy, is it? I mean, I don't know how you could spell it out any more clear. The school of hard knocks is not a school unless you learn to take those hard knocks and learn from them. You learn from them hard knocks. It's not a school if you're not learning anything from it. Just going back and doing it again. Here I am again. This vomit tastes crappy. How'd I get back here? Trust the Lord. Point B, trust the Lord. Proverbs 22:19 says, "So that your trust may be in the Lord, I teach you, even you. I teach you, even you." And the last verse I'm going to share with you is Psalm chapter 51, verse 17. It says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." Right back, we're going to finish where we started. And that's a broken and contrite heart. There it is again. The Spirit can teach us and will teach us. But there has to be a broken and contrite heart from you and I. Do you understand what that is? That's humility. I'm still learning. I don't have it all figured out. But that's just, you know what, God? You're right. Your word. God, you've put people of authority in my life. There's pastors and brothers and sisters and people that can... You've helped me, God, to be a man that has a humble enough heart to defer and go ask somebody, what should I do here? What is God really trying to tell me in these verses? Be humble and teachable. And his Spirit that lives inside us in that nucleus of our faith will teach us. He will teach us. He'll show us. He'll reveal things to you right when you need them. Right when you need them. God's timing is perfect. It may not seem like it. You might think, and God says, "I was here all along. You didn't have to scream like that. Now, here you go. I'm going to take care of you." Turn to God. We need to understand that. We need to depend on him in humility. There's a dependence on Christ, on the King, on the Creator. He wants to teach you. Turn to him quickly. There's much to do. We don't have time to waste. Excuse me. Being distracted by all the things that distract us, by sin, confusion. Lots of things are just a waste of time, and there's much to do for the King. It starts right now. Right now. You're part of it. No matter what you're involved in, you're part of it. Part of God's incredible project, if you will, his plan. We're in the middle of that with all of our trials and stuff and bills and all that stuff comes with it. And it's part of it. It's important. And it may be teaching us humility. Why? So turn to God. Say, turn to God. Turn to God. Oh, help me, God. Help. Turn to God. Just be quick to do that. Turn to God. Turn to God. Here it is again, God. Well, I'm right here. I haven't gone anywhere. Turn to God. It's just, sometimes it's just that elementary. It's not rocket science. God wants to help you. He wants to teach you. We need to be teachable. We need to be in front of him. We need to tap into that power. Remember, doctors and electricians, they heal kind of like God. Kind of. Doctors, you know, are healing. God's a healer. He's a wonderful counselor, the one that has all of the power to for you, for daily life, for everything that you come up against. He's sovereign. He's loving. He's just. He's everything. It's a resource. Learn from him. Be teachable. I need to be too. I'm just going to close us in prayer here. And call and I, God, I come to before you, and best way I know how to be, even prayer, Lord, as I think about it, because I love to pray to you. Jesus, you know that. I just love talking to you. I don't do it enough. But in this prayer, I just turn to you, Lord. There's some level of surrender or submission in our prayer, Lord. I again, not praying for show to this group. Lord, I love you. I depend on you, and I need you. We need you. So together, we just humbly come to you, surrender and submission in prayer as we genuinely pray right now. We pray to the Creator of the universe. Ask you to help us, Lord. Maybe there's something tonight that we really need for you to drive home. Spirit, please come in power and whatever you did. I know for me personally, Lord, there's a few of these things that I just need to pay attention to. And I'm just not good at that apart from you, Christ. So please, Spirit, help teach me and teach everybody in here. Thank you that you are at work. It's obvious. You're at work in your church, and it's just a joy to be a part of what you're doing. And thank you for that. And I thank you for tonight. And I just want to sing another song to you. And we say that in Jesus' name. Amen.